Now, the state capture inquiry continued today with more revelations from former Bosasa COO Angelo Agrizi. Agrizi claims Bosasa paid for a home with millions of rands for Correctional Services Commissioner at the time, Linda Mti. He says Mti had also been given monthly payments of 65,000 rand, and this amount was later increased to 100,000 rand. He also revealed how Bosasa officials destroyed evidence to cover up their corruption. Well, joining me now to unpack today's testimony is Sunday Times and Business Day columnist Peter Bruce. He wrote quite an interesting piece in the Business Today in which he says the ANC is finding out when you take just a little bit of money from a criminal, you're done for it. There's no going back. Peter, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Pleasure. Nice to talk to you. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Peter, before I get into what you make of Dakota Lekgotie's answers, I just want us to listen to a clip because I think it illustrates the banality of what you describe in your piece today. Let's listen to Mr. Agrizi explain how, in fact, they set about corrupting the African National Congress.
Gavin and Tony Perry and Danny Mansell negotiated with Michael Rodenberg and a lady called Jean Rodenberg, Michael Rodenberg's wife, and a lady by the name of Gloria Josephs, all right, to buy a company which was owned by the Rodenbergs and Gloria Joseph called Pezulu Fencing. I don't know the specifics of the actual agreement, but what I do know is that the sale was destined only to go through once the contract had been awarded to Pezulu. That was made very clear to everybody. It was public knowledge at Bosasa that we had to avert any negativity at that stage towards Bosasa. And the only way you would avert this, because this is a massive contract, one of the biggest fencing contracts ever done, you know. And because they didn't want attention, we said, they said, all right, Pezulu's there, award the contract to Pezulu. And on top of that, the sale would only go through of Pezulu once the contract had been awarded to Pezulu.
Now, that's, of course, Mr. Agrizi. Now, Peter, in your column, you speak about the crassness, in fact, the lack of class, if you like, attached to the way in which the ANC was compromised. You heard me ask Mr. Lekgotie, why did the African National Congress have one set of rules for those involved in the VBS matter and ask them to step aside and not do the same? Did you buy his argument about the different processes at play?
Look, to a point, I kind of did. You know, if I'm not mistaken, the report into VBS actually made findings, didn't it? And I don't know that the Zondo Commission has got to that point yet. I mean, I think people like, you know, Nombula Mokonyano and really deep trouble, there's no question that this fellow has evidence that is going to put her in front of either the police or the revenue service. And it's interesting, you know, Karima, that as you're listening to this evidence, you keep thinking police, but I keep thinking tax.
Yes.
Because all of these people, and this money is traceable. I mean, you know, all of these people have, I mean, Nombula particularly sounds that she's been living off this kind of largesse, squalid as it is. I mean, you know, to set yourself for a chop and a bottle of brandy.
Yeah.
And a Louis Vuitton handbag. I mean, it's so pathetic.
Yeah.
In a way, but it's almost tragic, you know, if it wasn't so dirty. And she's going to find herself with SARS knocking on her door, and possibly, you know, within a couple of days, somebody running the NPA who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
She's in so much trouble. It's beyond description.
Absolutely. And I mean, one is surprised that the ANC is not calling her to the Integrity Committee to explain herself.
Well, you know, that's their business. It's kind of, you could sort of do it, and we've kind of we worry too much, I think, about the ANC behaving properly. I hope we're going to begin to see the institutions start doing their jobs properly. And SARS should nail Nomvula super fast. So she's been getting, what, 300,000 rand a month for how many years? I mean, it's just, you know, let alone all of the nonsense. She's going to have to pay back millions and millions of rands in taxes to SARS, plus penalties. And it'll go back a very long time, because this started back with her when she was MEC for Safety and Security, 2002. Almost 20 years.
Absolutely. Now, in fact, Peter, I want us to take a listen to a clip of the fact that former Correctional Services Commissioner Vernie Peterson wanted nothing to do with Bosasa's dirty dealings. Now, I happen to know Vernie personally. Yeah. He's late. They moved him to the sports department. Yeah. But this man came under incredible pressure. He had death threats. He had to have the security personnel sleep inside his house. And the person checking up on him from the police was killed mysteriously. And it is unbelievable what they did to a good man. Let's have a listen quickly to what happened with Mr. Vernie Peterson and how they struggled to get past him in order to, of course, start that bribery process in the Department of Correctional Services.
The subject matter of the meeting was an attempt to find a solution to Mr. Peterson's refusal to communicate with Bosasa.
Correct.
What happened?
Well, it was agreed that they, which included Mr. Ngale, who was the regional commissioner of the Department of Correctional Services, would be paid R1 million per month.
Regional commissioner of Department of Correctional Services in Gauteng?
No, in KZN.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
When you say it was agreed that they, including Mr. Ngale, would be paid R1 million per month, what is the detail? Was that for all, some? Who are the they?
That was for the team.
In terms of the agreement reached at that meeting, what were the two people going to do in order to... What were they going to do for Bosasa? Because the national commissioner was Mr. Peterson, and he wanted to have nothing to do with Bosasa. What were they going to do? He was the top man, isn't it?
That is correct. Chair, my, and once more, it is my thinking, from what I heard in the meeting, was that they would put undue pressure on the department and on Vernie Peterson through the associations with Pop Crew and with the unions and the people.
Now, you know, Peter, this is personal for me. I must admit this, because like I said to you, Vernie was actually a comrade of mine. And this is what some of his comrades said when the Bosasa thing started. They said, these Bosasa revelations should remind us about a committed and disciplined comrade called Vernie Peterson. Vernie was the Director General of the Department of Correctional Services when he began to uncover the fraud and corruption that had set in there. He tried his best to fight these criminal syndicates and gangsters. In return, he got death threats and threats to his wife and children. The situation became so bad that his security protectors slept in the house to ensure that he and his family remained safe. Then a police captain from the Brooklyn police station, who regularly came to check on Vernie's safety, was mysteriously murdered. To crown it all, the glorious ANC decided to move Vernie out of the Department of Correctional Services to the Department of Sport and Recreation. That was his reward for being a principled and steadfast in his commitment to serve the people of the country. Today, my thoughts are with June, Vernie's wife, and their children, who had to survive such a savage criminal activity. Sadly, Vernie died in February 2011. Long live the spirit of the incorruptible Vernie Peterson. Now, this is the human cost, Peter, behind what these people did.
Karima, can I just ask you, how did he die eventually?
You see, this is the thing. He got ill, and a lot of people believe that he was actually killed.
Yeah.
In fact, what I read out to you is a sanitized version of what many comrades felt. As you heard there, they rallied the unions, for example. So Vernie, for example, who has been a committed non-racialist, was accused of being a racist. He had to go through that process.
Lovely,
And what is so sad is that he was, in fact, an MK combatant. He was, in fact, a member of the African National Congress, but he refused to do this. And we saw Mr. Lyndon T., who was his boss, put pressure on him and put pressure on him. And Bosasa decided to put pressure. And they got the unions in, and they turned this man's life into a living hell. And and this is what we don't talk about when we talk about state capture.
Yeah. You know, what was interesting also I found, because you have to be reminded of your own sort of recent past, because when he was forced into to move from correctional services to sport, they basically swapped him out with the sports DG, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And she also proved to be incorruptible. And that's when they replaced her with, guess who? Tom Moyane.
Yes.
And Tom proved altogether more malleable. And you know, the thing that I was thinking the most watching the TV today, watching Greasy give evidence, was when will the banks, as they did with the Guptas, start closing down the Bosasa accounts?
Absolutely.
I mean, what does it take for Standard Bank, Absa, FNB, and Bestec and all of them to say that's it, you know? We can't, these people are politically, whatever they're politically connected or whatever the wording is. These are highly irregular accounts, and they're basically, we're going to stop doing business. You know, shut them down.
Absolutely. And I mean why has Gavin Watson's house not been raided, for example? I mean, he has the opportunity to shred thousands of documents.
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, obviously, and you can see in the what Agrizi is saying is that there are a lot of documents that he doesn't have, but I can tell you now that he's got enough. You know, and we'll have to look. Yeah, I mean, there'll be some attempts to cross-examine him, I've no doubt, and trip him up on memory and that sort of thing. But you know, certainly SARS have got a whole load of money to recover from people who were paid by the Watsons. And that's not even recovering, as I say, said earlier, it's not just the money, it's the penalties as well. That would be crippling. I mean, this is financial ruin for a lot of these people. And, you know, they obviously deserve it. And the Watsons, you know, having paid these bribes, they're going to go to jail.
Absolutely.
There's no question about it.
Let's just quickly listen to Mr. Agrizi talk about the way in which they set about, you know, furnishing a house for the former Correctional Services Department commander, Mr. Lyndon T.
It was in the morning sometime. I went with Mr. Watson to Richmond T's house in Savannah Hills Estate. And I was informed, we sat outside waiting because he had gone on a morning walk or something. And we sat outside waiting, and Gavin said, you see this beautiful house? He actually was being facetious. He says, you built for this politician. Meaning that, you know, he's saying that we worked and we earned the money. And then he would say that you actually built it because it was an expensive house. So I was also informed that all the furnishings in the house had been done. And later on, the scheme, when the SIU report broke and that, and everything started coming out, I was then only really informed of the scheme that happened. Until that time, I did not know how they had done it. I suspected that there was bribery in terms of Richmond T and the house and all that, but I did not have a clue who had organized it, how it had been done, as it was very secretive.
That's, of course, Mr. Agrizi explaining there the way in which they went about it. Now, Peter, you speak in your column about the fact that the president's son has also been linked to Bosasa. And we know that he gave one explanation in Parliament, then wrote to the Speaker and said that this was actually a campaign donation. Yeah. And we've heard that they've tried to hide this donation in different ways in front companies and so on. And a lot of people are saying that it was a down payment, if you like, to keep things as usual because there was now a new regime in town. What do you think Cyril Ramaphosa ought to do? Certainly, what is his son supposed to do? I mean, surely both of them need to go to the commission to set this matter to rest once and for all.
I think that's absolutely right. I have seen some sort of quite difficult to understand reports on how, on the length they went to hide the source of the campaign donation. And it'd be interesting to know, too, whether they made a campaign donation to Nkosazana Dlamini's campaign, but that would be another story. As far as the president's son is concerned, so what Cyril has told Parliament is that he saw a contract between his son and Bosasa, which should, if he'd been alive to these events or to this evidence, he should have really sort of made the hair on the back of his neck stand up. He cannot unsay that. And either he or his son is going to have to explain what they were doing with Bosasa, because I don't think Bosasa, according to agrees, he did any legitimate business at all.
In fact, many people argue that it wasn't a legitimate business. It was just a front to actually launder ways in which to pay off officials to get contracts.
Fair enough. But somebody's got to stand up in front of the Zondo Commission and be cross-examined about it. If I was the son, I would do it. I would do it as fast as I possibly could. And I don't think his father should hold him back. As far as Cyril speaking to the Zondo Commission is concerned, I'm sure they have to do it before the election. And I don't know whether he does it as the head of the party or as head of state. But he's got to speak. He can't. The thing about the party not intervening on individuals' behalf is not good enough, and particularly as far as the Ramaphosa family is concerned, they have to say something.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's inconceivable that they don't.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, the president in Parliament gave the nation the assurance that he will walk his son personally to the police station if there was anything untoward. So perhaps he should walk his son personally to the commission.
Well, that's at the very least, I really think that's going to have to happen. But look, I mean, Greasy will be in that witness stand for a very long time. I mean, he's got a lot to say. And they've just started at the end of the day. They started going through the SIU report.
Yes.
Simply to check whether the SIU report, kind of fits with his knowledge of events. And then he's got to get to the other 30 or so names.
Yes.
That he hasn't mentioned yet. Kevin Wakeford, who was the head of Arms Corps until this morning, has been put on special leave because he's mentioned in the or will be mentioned in Agrizi's testimony. One wonders what that is for. And Wakeford is very close to the Minister of Defence, who herself has also been, is one of the people mentioned. So there's a bit of a Dota Nostra thing going on down there, a little East Cape cabal.
Yes.
That this family have, that the Watsons have got their teeth into.
Absolutely. Peter, thank you so very much for coming onto the program. That is my colleague, Sunday Times and Business Day columnist, Peter Bruce, who, of course, wrote a really interesting article today, a column, in fact, in Business Day.